Good evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, the time to come and worship you, Lord. Just be with each of us. Be with me as I take these words of the Scripture and teach them, Lord. We just thank you for your blessing. We ask you to be with us in your precious name. Amen. If everybody would please turn to Psalm 46. God, the refuge of his people and conqueror of the nations. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Psalms was made to be sung, and Psalm 46 was led by the chief musician, with the sons of Korah, who were a division of the Levites. Alamoth means virgins, and denoting that the psalm which bears inscription was to be sung by soprano or female vocalist. Can also be a musical term from 1 Chronicles 15:20, which says, Zechariah, Aziel, Shemaroth, Jehoel, Emi, Eliab, Malsua, and Benaiah with strings according to Alamoth. This was done when David was bringing the Ark back into the city of David, celebrating his victory over his enemies. This is also known as Bess's Luther's Psalm. The mighty fortress is our God. Also could be called the Song of Holy Confidence, or God, the refuge of his people and conqueror of the nations. The psalmist's confidence in God is natural disasters, unstable conditions in a time of war. Many other psalms begin with a description of the psalmist's crisis. Psalm 46, the poet begins with God's provisions. He looked to God for help in difficult times and found it. He could say these things by experience, that God himself was a place of refuge, as a city to refuge protected the fugitive in Israel, that God himself was strength for the people, being strong for them and in them, that God alone was his refuge and strength, not God or something or someone else, that God himself was their help, not from a distance, from a very present help. That came from a commentary by David Gusey. I think this particular passage is broken into three sections, all ending with Selah, our time to pause and look back at what was sung. 1-3, it says, God is sovereign and is our stability when nature is unstable. 4-7, God is sovereign and he is present during the instability of nations and kingdoms. And 8-11, God is sovereign, and he will get the glory of his power and victories of war. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Some Charles Spurgeon's commentaries, he says, God is our refuge and strength, not our armies or our fortresses. Israel's boast is in Jehovah, the only living and true God. Others vaunt their impregnable castles, placed on inaccessible rocks and secured with gates of iron. But God is far better refuge from distress than all these. When the time comes to carry the war into the enemy's territories, the Lord stands his people in better stead than all the valor of legion or the boasted strength of chariot and horse. Soldiers of the cross, remember this and count yourselves safe and make yourselves strong in God. Forget not the personal possessive word honor. Make sure each one of you portion is God, that you may say, He is my refuge and strength. Neither forget the fact that God is our refuge just now, in the immediate present, as truly as when David penned the word. God alone is all, our all in all. All other refugees are refugees of lies. All their strengths and weaknesses, for power belongeth unto God. But God is all sufficient. Our defense and might are equal to all emergencies. A very present help in trouble or in distress, He has so been found. He has been tried and proved by His people. He never withdraws Himself from the afflicted. He is their help, truly, effectually, constantly. He is present or near them, close at their side, and ready for their succor. And this is emphasized by the word very in our version. He is more present than a friend or a relative can be. Yea, more nearly present, even than the trouble itself. To all this comfortable truth is added the consideration that His assistance comes at the needed time. He is not as the swallows that leave us in the winter. He is a friend in need, and a friend indeed. When it is very dark with us, let brave spirits say, Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm. I think there's two aspects in this first verse. First is God as our refuge, a place where we can go for protection and safety and rest in His stronghold. And God is our strength and very present help in trouble. When times are tough and stress, we can go to God for strength and help. When we're weak, He is strong. Refuge or stronghold, here's a few verses. He is a refuge for the oppressed. Psalm 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. He is a refuge also for the anointed. The Lord is their strength. That's Psalm 28:8. The Lord is their strength and is the saving refuge of His anointed. He is a refuge in calamities. Psalm 57:1 says, Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in You, and in the shadow of Your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. We can also pour out our hearts to Him. Psalm 62:7 and 8 says, And God is my salvation and my glory. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He is a strong refuge for us continually. Psalm 71:3, Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress, a refuge of my God in whom I can trust. Psalm 91:2 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He's also our strength. He's our strength who we can trust. Psalm 18:1 and 2 says, I will love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He is our strength and redeemer. Psalm 19:14, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When we fail, He is our strength. Psalm 73:26 says, My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is our strength through all our troubles and trials. We just need to go to Him. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is the rock of our salvation, and our trust should be in Him. He is also a very present help in trouble. He is helper wherever we are and whatever situation we're in. He is our immediate help. Psalm 33:20 says, Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. When we are anxious, God is a very present help. Be anxious for nothing, or Psalm 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we have burdens, God is a very present help. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. When we are troubled or afraid, God is a very present help. John 14:27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He is nearer than our anxiety, nearer than our burdens, and when we are afraid or when we are afraid or troubled. Our God is also the God and Creator. Psalm 121:2 says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And Psalm 124:8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." As God is a very present help, so God's word is near us also. Romans 10:8-10 says, what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. But is God truly our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble? Are we trusting in someone or something else? Is he there? He is there, but we need to put our trust in him and do not be anxious about our circumstances around us. Psalm 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God in his word is not only near us, but he is in us. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its ceiling, swelling, Selah. Therefore we will not fear. It is reasonable for us not to fear, for if God is for us, who can be with us? David asked, why, as Christians, we need not fear? Because the God of heaven and earth is our refuge. We are not Christless, hopeless, helpless, and godless. Let us not live like those who are so. We have Christ, hope, help, and God is with us. If God is our life, light and salvation, why should we fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? God says he is with us, so why should we fear? Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We should not have a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Our only fear should be in the fear of a reverent God and not a man with disasters and pandemics like COVID-19, arrest, or any other fear we might have. Matthew 10:28 tells us, do not fear those who kill a body but can kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Psalm 115:11 says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. If we are weak and God is our strength, there is no reason for us to fear. If we need help in our troubles, he is closer than our troubles. We need not fear. God gave us Jesus because of his great love for us. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in merit, mercy, because of his late love which he has loved us, even we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Even though the earth is removed and gives away, and the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea, when the earth gives away as in earthquakes, and when the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea like torrential floods, fear and instability are the result. But the stable becomes unstable. God is our stability. Psalm 93:3-4. The floods are lifted up, Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their ways. Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters and the mighty waves of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake or tremble with its swelling, Selah. That's verse 3. The waters roar and be troubled or foam. God is our rock and our stronghold. He will not be moved. Our faith to Him needs to be steadfast. We need to take time to seek God, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The psalmist ends verse 3 with Selah. Meditate on this. Meditate on who God is, our sovereign, almighty, powerful God. Therefore, we will not fear, even though there are earthquakes and floods and other earthly disasters. It is now contrasted by the peace and calm of God's presence in the city and His tabernacle. Instead of the waters raging and foaming, they are calm where God is present and help in verses 4 and 5. We have that one that we can trust and go to find peace. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Verse 4, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. We understand there's no little river in Jerusalem, just small stream. There was a river in Eden, and there will be in the New Jerusalem, which will be a river of peace and will supply the needs of the people, as opposed to the roaring rivers that caused destruction previously mentioned. The psalmist could be looking to the New Jerusalem when he refers to a river. Revelation 22:1-2 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb, in the middle of the street on either side of the river, and the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Just praise God and let us look to the forward to His glory when we get to heaven. We have also rivers of living water. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. David Guzik in his commentary about the city being glad, the river flows and makes all the city of God happy. The city of God is glad because life-giving water is always present in the dry, semi-arid land. The city of God is glad because the river has many streams. Picture perhaps connected to the rivers that watered the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:1 says, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it parted and became four riverheads. The city of God is glad because a river is sometimes a picture of peace. Isaiah 66:12, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her side shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. Jerusalem is in perfect peace. The city of God is glad because the city is secure, having one of the best defenses against an enemy, besieging the city, guaranteed water. The holy place of the tabernacle, a holy habitation of the Most High, where God will dwell in New Jerusalem. Psalm 48:1-2 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God and His holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. In Isaiah 33:21, but there the majestic Lord will be for us, a place of broad rivers and stream, in which no galley with oars will sail, nor majestic ships pass by. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn, when morning dawns. With God in the midst of the city in His holy tabernacle, the city will be at perfect peace, that nothing will disturb her because of Almighty God's presence. God also will help her at the morning dawn, just at the break of dawn. At the break of dawn, when darkness is gone and the light shines, God is there for us. And as Jesus promised to be light in John 8:12, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Verse 6, the nations, the heathens, raged. The kingdoms were moved or tottered. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. God is sovereign and mighty, and is in complete control over everything, and any plots against him are in vain. Psalm 2:1-6 says, why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion and cast away their cords from us. Amos 9:5 says, the Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all dwell there mourn. All of it shall swell like the river and subside like the river of Egypt. With just a word, God halted the rage of the nation and the tottering of the kingdom, just as he did in creation when he spoke creation into existence. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And Jesus spoke, and the waters were calmed. Matthew 8:26, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Lord of hosts has definition in the International Standard Bicycle, our Bible Encyclopedia, a name or title of God frequently used in the Old Testament, always translated Yahuwah of hosts. Evidently, the meaning of this title is that all created agencies and forces are under the leadership or dominion of Yahuwah. He made and maintains them all. Genesis 2:1 said, the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Isaiah 45:12 says, I have made the earth and created man on it. My hand stretched out the heavens and all their hosts I have commanded. It is used to express Yahuwah's great power. God is with us, being over all creation as the Lord of hosts of heaven and earth. He is with us. He secures us and keeps us. As prophesied, Jesus is with us. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew 1:20 says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Romans 5:8 also says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus and God were with us even while we were still sinners. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God of Jacob is an individual, or could be referring to God of Israel as a nation. Jacob was a deceitful man, but God was still with him. Could refer to the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the new and better covenant from God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. After verse 7, there's another pause, Selah, pause to reflect on what already has been sung. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. God destroys the enemies of war and enemies that try to destroy us. He is victor over our enemies. Verse 10 and 11, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt it among the nations. The heathens, I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 57:11 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Psalm 19:1-6, exalt God in all his glory. Heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day and to day utter speech, and night and night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from his heat. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. These two commands, to not panic and recognize his sovereignty, could be directed to his nation for comfort, and all other nations for warning. The psalmist could be reflecting on God's great power and majesty in verses 8 and 9, giving him glory and who he is. Be still and know that I am God. Go to God. I am God. Go alone and be with God and listen to Him. Meditate on His Word. Be still. Take time from our busy lives and be quiet before God and consider who God is in His creative power and majesty. Be still and take time out to meditate who He is, all-powerful, all-knowing, a God of grace and mercy. Should we take time to be thankful? Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. For Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Verse 10, "I am God, and that He is God, His absolutely and infinitely perfect being. As He is God, He is so great that He is infinitely above all comprehension. As He is God, all things are His own. And that He is God, He is worthy to be sovereign over all things. And that He is God, He will be sovereign and will act as much. And that He is God, He is able to avenge Himself on those who oppose His sovereignty." Jonathan Edwards. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." This verse 11 repeats and emphasizes, "The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge." We need to make sure our lives are stable and secure with God as our refuge, strength, and very present help in time of trouble. We can only make our lives secure now and for eternity through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom is God at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" John 6, 14 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let us make sure that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear most precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, and we thank You what has been read tonight, Lord. We ask You that each of us just meditate on what we have heard, and meditate on where we are and how we are with You, Lord. And we just want to give You the glory and the honor, and just give You, thank You for all You do in Your precious name. Amen.